My guest at this time is Tennessee Republican Congressman Phil Rowe, represents the state's first congressional district, and he is also a longtime physician. He's also the author of H.R. 452, which is also known as the Medicare Decisions Accountability Act, and that's a fancy name for basically saying he wants to repeal a part of the president's health care plan known as the Independent Payment Advisory Board. His legislation is making a lot of progress. It's already got enough co-sponsors to easily pass the House on a bipartisan basis and has now cleared both the Energy and Commerce Committee and the Ways and Means Committee. And he's with us now to provide a little more background on what exactly his bill would do. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, Greg, thanks for having me on. And for our listeners, the Independent Payment Advisory Board is a board that was it's in the President's health care bill, the Affordable Care Act. And what it says is that the president will appoint 15 bureaucrats or 15 people to a board that will be approved by the Senate, and then they will oversee the spending of Medicare. Let's say Medicare's targets are $550 billion, for an example, and spending is greater than that. This board is authorized to cut that without Congress doing anything, and there is no statutory overview. In other words, the courts can't change it. The Congress can only by a 60%, two-thirds vote in the Senate, and that's a very high bar, as you know. So it's a board that, let's say, the new techniques come up and spending is more spending is required in Medicare. This board will first cut providers, and our concern for that is that's your first doctors and other providers, and then hospitals. Our concern is if you do that, you're going to decrease access to care for patients. That's, as a physician, I know one of the great problems that we had was access. And as we know, it's harder and harder for our Medicare-age patient, and I'm a Medicare-age patient myself, to find a primary care doctor. So that's our main concern, and it's shared across the aisle.
Congressman, take us a little bit further in. This board would not necessarily look at individual cases. It would just simply choose not to reimburse physicians for either specific procedures or just cut their reimbursement altogether?
That's correct. And what would happen would be that the problem with it is the authority would be lost by Congress to do much about this. And we should never do that. And I think that's what Barney Frank is on this bill. Congressman Frank is as liberal as I am conservative. And he and I both agree on this. And the reason is because Congress should not give up its constitutional statutory authority. It's in the Constitution that all spending bills start in the House. And so I think that's his main concern. And I completely agree with him.
Is this something that most folks didn't catch before the bill passed?
It's a little trickier than that, Greg. It actually was not in the House version of the bill. And about 50, I got the idea from the Democrats. Congressman Neal, Democrat from Massachusetts, wrote a letter to then-Speaker Pelosi and said, I don't think this should be part of the bill. And having read the bill, I picked it up and I signed on to the letter, one of the only Republicans that did. But I realized it was a bad idea 2.5 years ago, and so when the House version wasn't passed and the Senate version passed, it had this part as part of it. And one of the great champions, and quite frankly, I say this with all deference, one of the great champions of IPAP is Senator Rockefeller. And Senator Rockefeller, with his wealth, is never going to have to worry about the IPAP. He'll have access. My concern is in rural East Tennessee and Appalachia, where I practiced medicine for 31 years, it will absolutely affect senior citizens there.
What's the fate in the Senate likely to be? Any read on that?
I think that's going to be a tough. There are 33 or 34 senators, all Republicans, who have signed on. I think a big vote in the House would send a message to the Senate. But as you know, the Senate is another beast out there that operates on its own time clock. So I don't know what will happen. I would think and hope if we have a big vote in the House that they would take it up. It's just a serious, serious issue. And I just want to say for our listeners, Greg, it's a very bad idea long term, because I believe what it end up doing is rationing care in this country. People tell you, oh, it's not a rationing board. Look, they have the same thing in England called NICE, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence. That's exactly what they do. They ration based on cost. And this is the first step in that direction, I think.
You mentioned time crunch in terms of the Senate. What about how soon this needs to be addressed before this board kicks in?
Well, it's actually part of the law now. It started in 12, but it kicks in 2014. I think obviously what happens in November will have a lot to say about what happens with the IPAP part of the Affordable Care Act. I think 270-80 votes on here would send a very strong message to the administration. It's a bad idea. We need to use something else other than a essentially a rationing board to do this. And that will tell you, I've heard the talking points, oh, it's not a rationing board. Well, if you cut spending to providers to where they can't afford to see the patients, having been in the trenches for 31 years, I can assure you in absentia, that's what this is.
Let's put a little bit of flesh on this if we can, Congressman. What are some typical procedures that a person or a family might be expecting to get to either improve or prolong life that, due to cost, right now at least, of being one of the most expensive things, might ultimately get not reimbursed by this board?
Well, here's what will happen. There are spending targets and formulas set up. So the spending target will be whatever the number is. You know, pick a number. If the spending goes above that, this board is required to say we're going to cut the providers, which would be their pay or whatever procedures they do, cut the payment for that to them. Well, you know, right then, when that payment is cut enough, that they won't be able to provide the service. And that's my concern. And from an individual standpoint, and I worry that it's a slippery slope we're on. Once you make that decision, then what other decisions do you make? Does the government make for you? Those decisions ought to be made, Greg, by patients and their families and the doctor. That's who should be making those kind of decisions, not some bureaucratically appointed board here in Washington, D.C.
When do you expect to vote on the House floor, sir?
Last week of March. We're going to debate it, not next week. We're back in the district next week, but the following week, we will debate that. I look forward to it, and it should be a fun debate.
Well, we'll certainly track it. I know this is one of the biggest concerns, certainly among House Republicans. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Well, Greg, thanks for getting this out to your listeners. I appreciate that. I think it's important to inform people. This is a complicated bill. I read every page of the 25-plus 100 pages, and it is hard to get down in the weeds on this thing and find out, as you point out very correctly, how does this affect a single patient? That's the way I think about every piece of healthcare legislation that's passed up here. How is this going to affect that patient when they come to see me in the office? And I think that was a great point that you made.
Great to have you with us, sir. Thank you for saying that, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rick.
Tennessee Congressman Phil Rowe, longtime physician, represents his state's 1st Congressional District. He's also author of H.R. 452, the Medicare Decisions Accountability Act, which would repeal the Independent Payment Advisory Board inside the president's health care law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.